There was a whole lot of music, a lot of chatting going on in the chat room there, and I took that opportunity to dial in Ronnie Reno, who's on the phone right now. Ronnie, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine, Steve, and yourself?
We're doing just fine here. Beautiful spring day up in Kentucky. How about you down there?
It is. Actually, it's a gorgeous day down here. It's about 60 degrees, and we've had a lot of rain the last few days, which we always can use, but it's just, it's like I said, 60 degrees, and it's going to be about 68 tomorrow here in, well, I'm actually in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which okay. is right out of Nashville.
Yeah.
So we're having a good day.
When I started off the show today, Ronnie, I gave people a little bit of a rundown. Of course, I can't do that in 5 minutes about what you've done and what you've accomplished and what you're still doing. But just for the people that came in late, because sometimes they don't tune right in at 2 o'clock my time, they pop around and see what's going on. And take a few minutes and brag on yourself just for a second, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. Now, other people do it better than I do. I've been very, very fortunate in our industry that we call bluegrass music and traditional music and acoustic music. I've been in the right place quite a few different times that really reflects back on you know, things that has been done. I didn't realize it when I first started. I was with one of the greatest bands in the world. With Don Reno and Red Smiley, and I always thought, you know, that everybody was like that. You know, you just jumped into these bands like that, and they all were good, which they were good. Don't get me wrong, but I was just very fortunate to actually start there.
Oh, they were absolute stalwarts. And, of course, everybody knows Don Reno was your father.
Yeah. He was a fine musician and a fine singer and a fine songwriter and a wonderful showman. But he really enjoyed it. He enjoyed not only playing music, he enjoyed the aspects that went with it, the greeting of the fans and making friends out of fans and watching young banjo players come up and you know, help them. And he just enjoyed all aspects of it, and people enjoyed watching him do it.
Boy, he was one of a kind. Of course, he had his own style, but Gina Netley, what a fluid right hand and left hand. If you're talking about banjo pickers, holy moly!
You know, I didn't realize it at the time when they were doing all this stuff. I didn't realize it was fresh as a pan of fresh baked biscuits. You know, I didn't realize it that he actually wrote that song that morning and was picking it that afternoon. I didn't even know where the songs came from. I was too young, really. I was trying to, all I was interested in was learning how to play that mandolin and learning to sing and learning harmony parts and fitting in with this band, you know.
And you were actually pretty young when you were playing with Reno and Smiley. Didn't you get your introduction there?
I did. I actually first started out singing with the group, and then I felt like if I was going to be able to continue to hold a spot in the band, I'd better start picking. So that the mandolin was the only thing left, and I said, well, let me grab that. And of course, Dad was a good mandolin player too. He showed me a bunch of things, and so it went from there. You know, just I was with Ted and Red. Oh my gosh, I started traveling with them on the road when I was probably, I'd say 13, 14, something like that, all
wow.
the time. You know,
wow.
They'd let me out of school. And we'd travel with them, and then I worked with them up until I was about 20 years old when I went with Bob and Sonny.
Wow. What an experience. And then you were with the Osborne Brothers for, I'm going to say, what, 5 years, Sonny? I was talking to Sonny this morning. He was thinking from 67 to 74. Is that about right, you think?
It was actually to 72.
Okay.
It was, 67 to 72. A little over 4.5 years, almost five. We dang near got to it.
Hmm. Almost got your retirement 5 years.
I did. And of course, that was some of the great times. We reflect back to those times. Sonny and I have lunch together a lot down here in Hendersonville, and we reflect back to that was some of the finest times in the world with the harmonies. That we were doing the music. We had a wonderful band. I was with young lady last night who actually drove through Nashville on her way up to New Mexico, and she started listening to us when she was 8 years old, and she's now 53. So she said that was one of the greatest bands that she'd ever heard. That was the Osmond Brothers when I was with them, and so that made me feel good.
Well, before I put you on the air, Ronnie, we were talking about it. As I went back through all the discs and everything, trying to pick out different things you had done. You were electric bass, you were mando, you were guitar, you were lead singer, you were harmony singer. You covered, and I asked you, how come you never played the drums on that? You were everywhere, man.
Well, we were just having fun. You know, Bobby and I played Twin Mandolins on, I think, the first sessions I did with them. We did Son of a Sawmill Man, and I forget all of the things that we did play in Twin Mandolins, and then after that, I played electric bass on some of the sessions, and then I played guitar on some of them and sang harmony on some of them. You're right. I was they let me sing, let me have a solo on, I think, Up to Date and Down to Earth, which was wonderful, and I'm very appreciative of that. And so, yeah, we were just out there having a good time.
Did they make you drive the bus?
You're dang right. we did it all. I mean, I would sell books and CDs and, well, at that time it wasn't CDs, it was albums. But, I'd go out in the audience and sell that stuff and drive the bus and do whatever it took. That's what you did back in those days. You just did it all.
We're going to cut Sonny in here in about maybe 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk to him for a bit. But I want you to talk about, before we came on, we were talking about and we got more time, but I want you to hit a little bit on this TV show that you're doing, which to me is, Ronnie, you're not only still, you know, real vital with Ronnie Reno and Reno Tradition with your band and music, but the TV show is just phenomenal. I mean, you're recording history, I believe, for future generations. Whether you know it or not, that's what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm very proud of that TV show. We've been in prime time now for about 4 years with it, and you know, we started out with about 35 million homes and went to 41 million, and now we're 61 million homes and adding even more as I'm talking to you. I think in the next few months we end up adding another 3 or 4 million homes to it, to what we're doing. It's just really, I'm just thankful to start with, but I feel blessed that I can carry the message of what we're trying to do with our music. You know, it's the network that I'm with is unashamed to play the music. You know, they like playing bluegrass and polka music and artsy music. You know,
yeah.
So I'm very fortunate. And I feel real good about what we're doing.
Tell the people the name of the show and how they might be able to find it.
Yeah, it's Reno's Old Time Music, and it's on RFD TV and the Family Net TV and Blue Highways TV. You can go on Direct or Dish or your local cable carrier, whether it be Comcast or Time Warner or Verizon or AT&T. We're carried on all those distributors, and so just look around for it a little bit, and you probably can find it.
Now, the format that I've normally seen on it, Ronnie, I think this is how it goes. You'll have your group, you'll do a tune or so. You'll have another guest group. I mean, the best and the best in the world in bluegrass are on there. Then you kind of combine the two. Then I often see you kind of pull aside with one particular person and just sit and talk and interview and pick a couple tunes with them. It's a great format what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I've always tried to do my show backwards rather than let them do the songs and then talk to my guest. I like to talk to my guests and then let them do a song. That way people know more about them. They know what they're getting ready to listen to. And it really, I think it helps tremendously, especially with some of the younger talent. Now, you know, in Bob and Sonny's situation or Ralph Stanley or folks like that, they know who they're listening to. But some of the younger bands that are just now getting started, they don't know who they are until I tell them a little bit about them. And then they perform and they say, oh, yeah, now we understand what he's talking about. So that's why I do that, more of a showcase, a documentary style program that way.
How many shows you think do you have in the can, so to speak, already? Do you know?
I'm probably I'd say if I'm not over it, I'm close to 100 shows.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a lot.
Wow, that's a lot. And where do you film that? I mean, where's the studio? Down there?
We're filming at North Star Studios here in Nashville. It's a big facility, production facility. That's out on Dickerson Road. They do the uplinking for the networks out there, and I think Marty Stewart does his show out there. They shoot the Country Family Reunion out there. They just shoot all kinds of productions in this huge facility out there, and so that's where I do. That's where I do my show out there.
Now we're going to talk to Sonny, and we talk a little bit about the Osborne Brothers, but there's a whole lot more to. Not that that's not a lot, but there's a whole lot more to Ronnie Reno. You did all this great work with, gosh, guys like Merle Haggard. You've done recording with everybody in the country industry, and it's just an amazing. When you look through what Ronnie's done, folks, which I would suggest that you do this because we can't cover it all here today. Just look at what Ronnie Reno has accomplished. And you talk about that little 13-year-old boy taking off with Reno and Smiley, one of the all-time greatest bluegrass bands, and you just keep chugging along, man. And you tell people how you met up with Merle Haggard. How did that come about?
Well, actually, I met Merle through Bobby and Sonny. They were opening shows for Merle years ago, and just got to buddying up. We used to buddy up with everybody years ago. Everybody was friends, and we had good times together. And so I just got to know Merle, and in between shows, we'd get bored and we'd sit around and sing and do things like that. And so that's the way I met Merle. Actually, Roy Nichols is the one that actually got me the job with Merle, because I was a friend of Roy's, and Roy told Merle, said, "Hey, you better check on Ronnie. I hear that I had just left Bob and Sonny, and was going to try to go out there and try to do it by myself, and have my own group." And of course, then Roy called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in singing some harmony with Merle?" And I said, "Well, yeah, we'd like to talk about it."
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the way that happened. But that's the way I met Merle.
And you recorded with him for a long time.
I did. About 9.5 years I was with Merle.
Wow. Well, that's a whole different. You spent a lot of time on the road, too, haven't you?
I have spent, my gosh, there's no telling how many millions of miles I've actually traveled. I really don't know. If you just figure 100,000 miles a year, which is pretty normal for a traveling musician, you multiply that times 50 years, and you've gone a long way.
It's an amazing, and I've had Sonny on, I've had a lot of different guests on, and that's one of the things that's always amazing to me. You talk about the life on the road, and you hit on it a little bit, all the things you had to do to get by back in those days, and then you talk to someone like Sonny or Larry Sparks or those guys about how they lived on the road, and man, it was just amazing what you put up with and what you did for music, because that's really why you were doing it.
Well, it's truly a passion, and it's truly a love for the art that you do. And of course, as the years go by, you lose the desire to be out there riding all night. Which I'm at that area in my life right now that I don't enjoy traveling all night long. I'll only do probably between 30 and 40 concerts a year is about all I'll do. But still, that keeps me out there seeing friends that I've made down through the years, and hopefully making some new fans as I go along.
Hey, I think I have a song here. I was pouring through all of the CDs and the things that I could find that crossed over with the Osborne Brothers. I think I've got a song here where it's you are lead vocal, and there's a little bit of support, but I'm looking at where does the good times go? Do you remember that one?
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that. At that time, that was a Buck Owens song, and of course Bobby and I worked up. The instrumental Buckaroo one time and with the Twin Mandolins, and we'll ask Sonny about it. We had Sonny playing bass on it while Bobby and I were playing mandolins and Dale Sled was playing guitar. Oh. That was sort of cool, but we decided to do Where Does the Good Times Go To.
Why don't I cut that in, and then while that's playing, I will dial up Mr. Sonny Osborne. How's that work for you?
Oh, I'd love to chat with Sonny.
All right, let's play then. For the fans out there, we're going to play the Osborne Brothers, and this is Ronnie Reno singing lead, and the tune is Where Does the Good Times Go? Sound good enough? Let's give it a run. Hold on.
Dog. We just went through about 15 minutes of really killer stuff.
All right. Just so you all know what I deal with when there's music playing, I've got Sonny Osborne on the line, and now we got Ronnie Reno still, and Sonny just did, as he said, the best 15 minutes of killer radio in history. You all didn't hear it, though.
and you missed it. I enjoyed it for sure.
Sonny, go ahead. You go, man. I'll just sit back.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, before I cut you in, we were talking about, of course, Ronnie's experience with your band and all the other things, and then the time I figured we'd cut you in, talk about that time from your perspective. You know, you guys had him playing just about every instrument you could find.
Well, Ronnie's really versatile, and he is good to be on the road with, because when he went with us, he was already like 18 years old, I think, or something like that, but he was already road born, I'll put it that way. He'd been with his dad for years, and when you're around Don Reno for anywhere over 30 minutes, you're road worthy.
I had already been to college when I got with Sonny and Bobby, for sure.
Yeah. You had been to school, for sure. And Sonny was a pleasure to work with. He's a great musician and a good guy on top of it. It's really weird that he was so good back then, and how could he turn out like he did now?
Yeah, you'd have thought I'd have gotten better, wouldn't you?
Oh, man.
Let me say this, Sonny and Steve. Some of the greatest days of my life was spent out there singing some harmony with Bobby and Sonny Osborne. It was like singing with a church choir, and I never will forget those days. And they just meant so much, and they even mean more to me as my life goes on now. So, Sonny, thank you very much for all that wonderful, wonderful music with you and Bobby, and I don't think it'll ever get any better.
Well, we really had a good thing. And I'll tell you, the time that you spent playing the bass with us was awfully, awfully good, too, because of the group then was me, Bobby, Dale Sled, and Ronnie. And that group really, really got along well, and everybody saw things alike. Everybody was basically about the same, you know, in the same part of life. And we really enjoyed each other, and had a good time. There was a whole lot of poker games while I was going that book.
I tell you what, also, there was a lot of music that going down the road, Sonny. I know you remember some of those times where we would work on different things that everybody had ideas on, and Sonny and Bobby were good about that. If you had an idea, they'd try it. I mean, they weren't opposed to saying, hey, if you had a good idea, and they liked it, they said, well, yeah, let's do that.
Well, we always looked at as when you hire a guy, you hire his talent. I mean, that's all there is to it. And who am I to tell Ronnie how to play the mandolin or the bass or the guitar? Or he knows how to sing, or I wouldn't have hired him to begin with. And he wouldn't have afforded the job had he not been able to sing, because he couldn't have worked with his dad had he not been able to do it. And you hire the complete package when you get somebody, and then the thing is, if they don't work for you, that you work with them. I mean, everybody works together, and that's what makes it all click right there, is everybody working together for the same goal.
I totally agree, Sonny. We actually had the four quarters that made the dollar, and there was such a pleasure on my side, too.
That's a good line right there. That's a great, good line. We had the four quarters that made the dollar.
How many quarters did you get out of that dollar, Ronnie?
Let's see. I got maybe 19 and a half cents, I think, for a hand.
He got his share.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, let's hope there's a crowd here, boys.
Where you got a crowd at?
Oh. Yeah. Over here, the old church. Oh, boy, this is a sad day right here.
Well, Sonny,
Oh, my day. All right. Well, it's okay, though.
All right. Well, you got a crowd at your house. Are you saying you got a crowd at your house, honey?
No. He's saying he's got a crowd at the church.
Oh, okay. All right.
Over the church. No, it's okay. It's okay.
We'll duck out whenever you need to, man. You know how that goes.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I need to. I'll probably need to go about 22.
Okay.
But everything's cool. Everything's good. I parked here beside a bright yellow truck. Know about that?
Hey, I got hit in the dang parking lot yesterday, Sonny.
In your car? In your Lexus?
Yes, I did. This woman backed into me yesterday on her way to get her hair fixed.
You gotta be kidding me.
I kid you not. Just about tore the whole back panel of my car off. And I said, "Man, did you not see me?" She said, "Well, I was looking the other way."
Oh, man, I swear. Now that's bad news right there.
Yeah, the cop. He said, "Is anybody hurt?" And I said, "Well, her ego is bruised right good."
Did it happen close around here?
Well, you know where that little old itty-bitty place where you eat down there, but across from, remember where the goose used to be?
Yeah.
Well, that's where it happened, right there. This woman backed into me right there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, you ought to have been there to begin with.
Could have been a
Joni. Oh, now you done it. The paparazzi is going to be all over that place.
No, they leave us alone. We're too popular for them.
Nobody goes there anymore because it's too popular.
Well, we don't have to tell them what's coming.
Yeah, we're too hot for them. They can't put up with us. You know what? If I had to deal with that, I'd hurt somebody. I really, really would. I would hurt somebody if they stuck the camera in my face. Every time I turned around, I would. And I don't understand why people are allowed to put up with that. But they have.
Well, you know, you've had the best of both worlds, son. You've been able to live your life and also live the other life, too. And I'm like you. I'm fortunate, too, the fact that we just get to live our lives, but yet we also get to go out and entertain, too. So, yeah, it would have worked for you. Paparazzi following you around would not have worked.
How about that, what I heard on the news, that guy in Boston, that last one they just caught last night, they didn't read him his Miranda rights. And now somebody is—they're arguing about that, whether he was captured properly. Is that crazy or what?
Well, I think.
Start with, I don't understand. There's one teenager can terrorize a million people in the city of Boston. Have you ever heard anything in your life?
No, I tell you what he did. He shut the whole town down.
That's what I'm saying. But
he cured him. But you know what? That's the only way they could catch you. And when you think about it, when they stopped everything. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't go to school. You couldn't get out of your house. You couldn't do anything. And that's the only way they could catch him. Because if he mingled him with that crowd of people up there, they'd have never got him.
No. That's right.
I thought like you did to begin with. And then I thought, you know, that's the only way they could have caught him. So, but I can't understand what goes on in a guy's mind to do something like that. I can't understand it. And that kid's been living here for 10 years in this country.
Yeah.
And taking advantage of everything in the world. And he's been living here for 10 years and then to do something like that. And another thing I got thinking about, that they went and got him. And he was wounded. They took him to the hospital. And you know that they're giving him every care that they possibly can. Well, and he's he was a Russian, born in Russia or wherever over there. He was a foreigner, and came over here, and then getting the finest care in the world. And you let a homeless guy that's been fighting in Vietnam or wherever, you let him want to go to the hospital, and if he don't have proper insurance, they laugh at him.
Oh, I know it. I know.
Something is wrong there. Something is definitely wrong there.
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong, Sonny, is the fact that that someone would want to come over here and do that and not appreciate where they're living. My gosh, let them go back over there and live some, if that's what they want, you know.
I guess,
it's the greatest place in the world to be. It's right here.
Boy, you know it. And if you travel, which you have a lot, if you travel out of this country, man, when you get back, you're thankful and very glad to be home.
But, you know, guys, people like that don't want this to be the place to want to be. They want to destroy
it. They want to see where they're from.
Right.
I would hate to see what they would do over there if an American went over there and did what they did over here. I know exactly what that we would be in front of over there, and that's the firing squad.
and quickly.
As death, hanging or beheaded.
Right, Sonny.
Yeah, and that's what they do to us. And we're just, I still think we're soft. We're soft.
Oh, definitely. Our
government's soft.
Too many bleeding hearts going on here is what Steve, we're not on the air right now, are we?
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh,
it's okay.
Right.
Listen, this is all current. This is current events for today. I'm okay with this.
I hope people around the world and some of them over there in China can hear us.
I don't know how many listeners I have in China, but they'll hear about it.
Hey, I'm a boss American. I truly am. Yeah. I'm extremely proud to be an American, for sure.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'm patriotic, Beth. I'm just as patriotic as you can get, I guess. I got flags all over my yard and everything.
I got one in front of my front door.
It looks kind of hillbilly, it does, but I don't care. I got one on my mailbox. and it's, when I put it up, Judy told me, she said, you know what? Somebody will knock that down or steal it. And that thing's been out there about 3 months now. It's still out there.
Well, it should be still out there, Sonny. You're dang right.
I should, yeah. And it's attached to the mailbox. I'm proud of it. I love it.
You know,
but I'm too.
Sonny, I'm still trying to come back to earth about the notion of following you around as a lawyer during if paparazzi was over you. Just think of all the work I could have.
You can every day.
Oh, when you said that, my eyes just rolled back in my head.
You would be working every day, 8 to 10, 12 hours.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
I can't take that. That's violating somebody's privacy rights somewhere. I don't know how. But by law, they've got it all figured out, so... Anyway,
well, I disagree with their objectives for the reasoning. The reasons they're doing it is that out there trying to make money off of your popularity and catch you in a bad time.
Right.
We're all human. Lord knows we're all human. So that's what I totally disagree with is their objectives.
I tell you, this town I live in, Johnny Cash and June Carter lives here. And when they built a Kmart here, one day I was in there and John walked in. He's dressed all in black. Typically, I mean, he was Johnny Cash right there and he was on stage. So he walked to the middle of the store. And this, honest to goodness, this is the truth. He walked to the middle of the store and the whole store conglomerated around him. I mean, everybody in that store gathered around Johnny Cash. And June just let her come leisurely up and down one aisle and then another with her cart. She shopped. And when she got to the cash register, she gave John the nod. He just walked off. They had it figured out. They had it figured out perfectly. And it worked. I saw him do it two or three times. And it worked. So it works really well.
I saw Johnny come into Hill's grocery store one day over there, Sonny, and actually you live not far down the road from it. But anyway, Johnny took a gout and threw it like a basketball and hit his chop and just grabbed it real fast on two wheels and went straight up there and paid for it, and out the door he went.
Oh, man. That's funny, man. That is funny. You know, well, I'm beginning to feel kind of weird over here because, I mean, you know how I just dress the way I want to, and these guys are going in suits and ties.
What, the church?
Yeah, maybe they'll kick me out.
Do you at least have a new UK hat on?
I do, yeah.
Oh, well, that'll work. It's a new one.
I've got a UK hat on and a blue shirt, buddy.
That's enough.
Well, I tell you what, I hate to leave you guys,
but
I'm going to go.
All right.
And get in there and get seated, I guess. Yeah. I've heard this, but...
Sonny, sorry for your loss there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. He's a good... Les White was his name. He was an excellent human being. Just a really good guy. But that's not saying much for my daughter, but Les was a really good guy.
Well, condolences to the family from us too, Sonny.
Thank you.
Well, Sonny, we're going to let you go. Let's play a tune here. Ronnie, how about Take Me Home Country Road? You did some singing.
Did you play Sawmill Man yet?
We did play that as we were patching you in. We played Son of a Sawmill Man. Yep, that's one of my favorites.
Ronnie, there was one song that you played Mama with Bobby on.
Yeah.
I think so, or something like that. What is, was
no, it? No, there was a ballad that we did Twin Manlins on, too, and Eddie Stubbs plays it all the time, and I'm trying to remember the name of that ballad that we did the Twin Manlins on. It's real pretty, but it was during that same session that we did those. We did about three, I think, with Twin Manlins, and I'm trying to remember the name of that ballad. It was really pretty.
I don't remember. Brady Martin was one of the greatest guitar players, probably the best session player that ever lived in Nashville. I mean, he was really top graded. We were in a session over there one time, and somebody was saying, I don't know about that tempo. And Ronnie was playing rhythm on the mandolin. If I didn't know this Son of a Gun, you know? Son of a Sawmill Man. And somebody says, that tempo's wrong. And Grady said, if you want to get the tempo, you watch that boy over there, that blonde-headed boy, playing rhythm on that mandolin and play with him because he's right on it. I will never forget that. And Ronnie, I bet
that was your goal. Oh, I did too, Sonny. That was one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life coming from Grady Martin. I definitely remember that.
Coming from Grady Martin, buddy, that's saying a lot right there because he told the host, and we had like 12 people on that session, and he told them, he said, if you want to get the right tempo, you watch that blonde-headed kid over there playing the mandolin. He said he's right on it. He's right on it.
And I never will forget that. That was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day, for sure.
Yeah, it was. Well, listen, boys, I'm going.
You go ahead.
I'll see you at lunch before long, and you pay next time.
Hey, Ronnie, has he ever paid? Just answer me that.
Well, now, Steve, it's your turn.
I think it isn't my turn. It's always my turn. That's all right.
All right. I'll talk to you all later.
All right.
See you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Bye. See you, man. All right, Ronnie, let's play a tune, and then we'll come back. If you'll stick with me for a while, is that all right?
You bet.
All right. I'm
right here, Steve.
Let's play Take Me Home Country Road. You remember that one?
I do remember that one.
I think you did some singing on that.
I believe I did, too.
All right. Well, let's do that, and then we'll come back here in just a second. All right. We're Sonny Osborne was in for a while. I still got Ronnie Reno. Sonny had some other personal business to run off to, and Ronnie's going to stick with us for a little while, and you're listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. We're having a good time. I appreciate you guys so much. Hold on. We're going to listen to The Osborne Brothers, Take Me Home, Country Roads, and this has Ronnie Reno playing all over that thing. Hold on. All right, there we go. We got Ronnie Reno still on the line. Ronnie, while you and I were chatting off of that, they heard the Osborne Brothers version of Take Me Home, Country Roads, and that was the time when you were heavy in with the Osborne Brothers, playing and singing and doing all sorts of things, and that you guys, I'll tell you, that session, I've talked to you about this before, that 4 or 5 years, I believe, you start ticking off some of the tunes that you did with the Osborne Brothers. Man, that's just classic bluegrass.
It is. It was a wonderful time, I think, for recordings. You know, we were still using a lot of those old wonderful tube microphones that makes your voice sound so great. We hadn't gone to a digital recording yet, and we were still using those U-47s and all that wonderful old recording equipment. You know, we were still into going straight sometimes to a two-track. It had a warmer feeling. The records had a warmer feeling, I think, than the digital does today. And we were able to just lay it down. I mean, there was no... we didn't tune our voices. We didn't tune our instruments. We didn't redo the timing. I mean, that's what you heard was what we actually did.
You basically did a live recording when you went in the studio.
That's exactly what we did. We went in, rehearsed. We would get together and rehearse what we were going to do. And when we went to the studio, because, I mean, it was, you were on the hour. I mean, you paid for the hour whether you used it or not. So when we went in with the idea that we were going to get at least 4 songs in a 3-hour session. And we normally did, with no trouble.
I mean, look, I've got a list here of some tunes that I pulled up this morning just so we could kind of bounce around depending on where we're going. But listen to these songs, Ronnie. And folks, this is when Ronnie Reno was with the Osborne Brothers, this is some of the stuff, not all of it, this is some of the stuff they produced. You heard Where Does the Good Times Go? You heard Son of a Sawmill Man, Take Me Home, Country Roads, Georgia Piney Woods, The Fighting Side of Me, Shelley's Winter Love, 8 More Miles to Louisville, Midnight Flyer, Love's Gonna Live Here, Listen to the Rain, and Muddy Bottom. That's just some of them that I pulled off this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right in the wheelhouse of classic, solid gold bluegrass.
Yeah, it is. We did a thing on You Win Again one time. Bobby and Sonny and I recorded You Win Again. I do believe it's probably about the closest harmony that I can ever remember, and we did the thing that the Wilburn brothers done, Sonny and Bobby and I. We slowed it down. Or let me see, which one song was that that they did? That was so good. The harmonies were so good. I'd have to go back and listen and look at it.
You mentioned You Win Again. You want to hear it while we're sitting here?
I'd love to hear You Win Again.
Let's do that. Let's play You Win Again, and that's one that, like I said, I pulled up a bunch of them, but I didn't get them all listed right away. But we're going to hear Ronnie Reno with the Osborne Brothers, and the one he was just talking about, You Win Again. That'll be a good one to jump right into. Hold on a second. All right. Now, what we were able to do during that musical interlude, Ronnie Reno, who's still on the phone, if we were talking about some things that he did with the Osborne Brothers, and we were just kind of bouncing words around, and as we played one that you liked, Ronnie, You Win Again, we thought of Arkansas. You thought of Arkansas, and I threw it in right behind the other one, and you might want to tell people listening why that was a song you wanted to hear again.
Well, a buddy of mine, Larry Stevenson, that's one of his favorite all-time songs that Bob and Sonny did. He really liked our cut on it. He said that's probably technically one of the greatest records he'd ever heard, and so that's what brought up the, and of course I liked the song too. I enjoyed the, I had just had my tonsils taken out or something, I think, right maybe a month or two before we did those sessions, and of course at that time I didn't know what the tonsillectomy would do to me, but it actually gave me some real good lows on it when I went to those harmony parts on that session for some reason, and so I was concerned that the blend would still be as good as it was, and it was actually seemed to be a little bit better even after the tonsils came out.
Well, it was pretty daggone good. Talk a little bit about that blend, and then I want to talk about what you're doing. But while we're on the Osborne Brothers, their harmonies were you can describe it because you were part of it, but they had a special way of singing.
Well, yeah, we actually, because of Bobby's range and his great voice, we could start from the top and come down with the harmonies instead of start in the middle and go up and then go down. We would start with Bobby as a high lead and do our two harmonies underneath that. And, of course, Sonny's, he was such a vocalist that he could actually, if he wanted to, sing above Bobby. So if Bobby would hit a low note, then Sonny would go above him doing a tenor part, and I would switch to a baritone. And it really was unique in the fact that they really couldn't tell who was doing what a lot of the times, but it was all started with Bobby's high lead, you know, and the harmony. And of course, we tried to do it like a pedal steel guitar too, where that you can change your harmonies around as long as you've got the main tune going for you. So that's basically what we were doing.
Yeah, that's funny because of course everybody that's ever picked up an instrument in the bluegrass field knows what Sonny did for banjo playing, which is hours and hours of discussion how he changed. But he doesn't talk. He kind of matter-of-factly will talk about his vocal contributions, but boy, he was just, that was a great vocal thing that he did with that band. So just right on it.
Oh, Lord, yes. Sonny's part was as important as Bobby's. To me, I mean, you know, when you're singing with them, they were easy to sing with because they always knew what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go. So if you didn't get your part, it's just the fact that you couldn't hear harmony at all, because that's the only thing that was left.
Yeah. They covered it. They covered it. You just had to get in there and not get squeezed up, I guess.
That's right. That's
well, and,
exactly
you know,
right.
And the fact that they were the vocal band of the year in country music that one year.
Yeah, that was unheard of for a bluegrass band to be the vocal band of the year.
That's just incredible.
A vocalist of the year, vocal harmony of the year.
There were some pretty stout country groups doing vocals and harmonies back in those days.
Oh yeah, Lord, yeah. At that time, I think that's the first time the Statler Brothers hadn't won it in 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. The year that we won the vocal group of the year.
Yeah, boy, that's an amazing thing. That just gives you some idea how powerful that group with you in it was. I believe. I still think. We talked about this the other day, Ronnie. I think. That time you were there, you can put that up against any bluegrass recording ever done anywhere.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I'm very proud of the things that we accomplished. And, you know, hopefully some of the younger groups coming along will take those recordings and those performances and learn from them and then do better with theirs. That's our whole aim in life, is to try to leave a little bit for them to expand on.
You notice how many bands do covers of the Osmond Brothers anymore?
There is a lot. In fact, I just had Rhonda Benson on my show, and she said, those recordings that you did with Bob and Sonny are my favorite. She said, I go everywhere I go, I take them with me. And so that was quite a compliment coming from Miss Rhonda.
Yeah. She means it. She means it. Well, you know that.
Oh, yes, she does. She's a fine singer herself.
Oh, yeah. We've been chatting about the Osmond Brothers. We talked a little bit about you, but let's, as we wind down here, how do people find Ronnie Reno and the Reno Tradition? What are you up to?
Well, you can go to, as always, RonnieReno.com, and you can check out my website. Well, I've got my store on there. Actually, we put our dates on Mike Scott's website. I think it's MikeScottMusic.com. We'll give Mikey a little plug there.
Yeah, oh, he's a great player.
He's been with me now for about 12 years, and we've got a wonderful band. We're doing, like I said, about between 30 and 40 festivals and concerts a year, and the rest of the time we're in production with our TV show. I have produced a new record that I think is just going to be iconic. I was able to get Merle Haggard and Mac Wiseman together to do a project together, and got it recorded. I'm going in next week. I think Vince Gill is going to do some harmony on it for me, and probably Sonya Isaacs will put the harmony.
Well, Ronnie, can't you get no singers on it? Is that the problem?
Yeah, that's horrible, ain't it? That I can't get
from
what I'm dealing with.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's Mac Wiseman was always one of Merle's favorite singers, and he loved all the old stuff that Mac did. I've just got to give a little plug to what they did. It's a wonderful project. They did half of Max's material and half of Merle's material. And I've got Merle's singing on. I wonder how the old folks are at home. Miles tonight. And it's really a neat deal. And of course, Mac is singing on some of Merle's things. And Merle wrote a song called The Two Old Christian Soldiers, working off a debt to the Lord. And I'm wanting to call it The Two Old Soldiers, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, but it's really going to be a great project. I just had to throw a little plug in for that.
Oh, heck yeah, I'm glad you did, because I wouldn't have think that. When do you think that might come out?
I'm probably about 4 or 5 months away from it coming out, I would imagine. I'm probably a couple more months in finishing the project as far as mixing it and finishing up the harmonies. But Mac and Merle's parts are done, and it's just wonderful.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
Oh, it sounds awesome. Hey, listen, would you do me a favor? When it comes out, can I call you and get you back on? We'll talk about it more.
You bet.
I'd love to do it, man.
Consider that done. We'll definitely do that.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. Ronnie Reno, the time has flown by. I appreciate you so much for being available and letting us patch Sonny in to hoot and holler about whatever. You know, it is what it is. Well, I enjoyed it. I think the people listening enjoyed it. We're going to get out of here with one more tune when you were with the Osborne Brothers. And I'm going to say, let's do, do you mind if I pick this one? Can we do Midnight Flyer?
Oh, by all means.
Can we do Midnight Flyer?
You bet. Let's do Midnight Flyer.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, Ronnie Reno, thanks so much, man. You be careful. When the new thing comes out, you come on and talk to me as producer of and participator in. I would love it.
Well, consider it done, Steve. And thanks. Tell everybody we said hi up in your area, and thanks for their support.
We will do it. All right, Ronnie. Thanks so much. I'll let you go, and we'll play one song. Thanks, bud. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
There we go. Ronnie Reno, Sonny Osborne. That was a blast. I hope you all enjoyed that. And then you got a little scoop in there on something that that Ronnie's putting together. Boy, sounds pretty strong. Sounds pretty strong to me. Thanks so much for tuning in to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass. And as we just said, we're going to get out of here with Midnight Flyer from the Osborne Brothers. And this is from the time when Ronnie Reno was a part of that powerful, powerful band. Thanks so much, folks.